Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. 18 candidates, but only 4 seats available. That is the situation for the Detroit Public Schools Community District, and its future lies in the hands of Detroit voters on November 8th, when they will make decisions about who will lead our public schools. It's a more important public space than people sometimes acknowledge, and it's a race that hasn't gotten as much attention as probably it should. Like all communities since the pandemic hit, the Detroit Public School District has faced a lot of problems related to that pandemic. Things like chronic absenteeism, mental health challenges, and learning loss have really hit Detroit schools pretty hard. Whoever makes up the 7-member board after November is going to have the power to approve contracts and vote on policies that attempt to resolve some of these issues. So, what are the priorities for the candidates who are running for school board? Who seems poised to fill these 4 open seats? And why are there so many people running in this election? Talk about all this. We've got 2 reporters who will be co-hosting a virtual candidate forum where voters will be able to hear directly from the school board candidates. Sasha Ryan is a producer and reporter for us here at WDET. Sasha, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Stephen.
Also, she's here with Ethan Bakuli, who is a Detroit education reporter at Chalkbeat Detroit. He will also be Sasha's co-host for this event. Ethan, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you for having me.
Sasha, let's start with this. So why is this race so hot? Why are there so many people who want to be on the Detroit School Board?
Well, really, since the creation of the Detroit Public Schools Community District in 2016, the end of state control, there's been a lot of interest. There have been huge races for school board every time it comes around. The very first race had about 70 people competing for the 7 seats on the board. So this kind of continues, and there are still a lot of issues from that era that are not resolved. And coming out of COVID, there's so many new issues that there are just lots of people who want to see change or want to be involved or have specific issues they're really, really passionate about. So I'm half surprised that it's just 18, it's a good number.
Yeah. So Ethan, tell me about some of the issues that the 18 candidates for these 4 seats are talking about. What's on their minds?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think you alluded to this. Chronic absenteeism probably is one of the top issues. So for those who don't know, that means students are missing 10% or more of the school year. And this past year, Detroit saw roughly 80% for their chronic absenteeism rate. So shocking number. Before that, we're probably around 60% pre-pandemic, lowering those numbers. You also might have student enrollment. There have been roughly 3,000 students that have left the district since 2020 as the pandemic grew. We could also look at student mental health. You know, it's a big issue, and it's definitely come to the forefront as we've seen just how students are juggling both their daily tasks with academics, but also at the same time trying to deal with loss and grief, maybe of family members, relatives, or friends during this pandemic.
Sasha, I wonder, there's so much going on right now with schools nationally and people arguing about things like critical race theory, what books belong in libraries. I know that those things are not always what's on Detroit parents' minds or Detroit candidates' minds. But I wonder if any of those issues is creeping at all into this race.
Ethan, you can tell me if you've heard something different. I haven't heard. There definitely, you hear references to critical race theory in discussions around Detroit, but it's a very different discussion. As a majority Black district, as a district, I think it's fair to say that's fairly Democratic. There hasn't been a passionate debate against teaching history. In fact, the board and board members, the district itself, has taken a really strong position to continue to revise its teaching of history to reflect the experiences of Black and Brown people mm-hmm. in the city, state, and country better. So things like that, you don't see that exactly the same way. And the COVID discussions didn't really work out the same way as they did in suburban and rural and in some urban districts and other places in the country. You do see debates around services that were related to COVID. It's definitely, there was a problem with providing special education services. Mm-hmm. As Ethan mentioned, there's a problem with absenteeism. And so being able to just provide services when children were remote. There were really passionate debates about whether the district should be open at certain points or completely shut down and what kinds of protections should be in place. And some of those, most of those are pretty muted right now, but they did look different, those discussions.
Yeah. When we talk about COVID and COVID restrictions, I mean, that was a pretty controversial issue here in Detroit, as it was in some other places, for different reasons here in Detroit than it was other places. What are the candidates saying about that now that we're back to all in person, full time in Detroit? Is this still something people are talking about?
I think so. Ethan, you probably.
Yeah, go ahead, Ethan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's been necessarily at the forefront of discussions. I think, like I said earlier, absenteeism, academic achievement has been a key talking point. I mean, candidates have not been too happy to see where the literacy rates have been across the district. I mean, we saw an increase in students three grades or more below reading level this past year. So it's really been top of mind to address the learning loss, the academic underachievement that students dealt with, which shouldn't be surprising, given that we were in a pandemic and, it's hard to say that students would be able to learn at the same pace that they were prior hand. But I'd say COVID, there's been the issue of just like, how effective are the schools cleaning up the school building?
Yeah.
And just overall, whether or not we're going to have masks coming into the school year. In Detroit, there's no longer a mask mandate in place since this past July.
Yeah. I'm talking with Ethan Bakuli. He's a Detroit education reporter at Chalkbeat Detroit. Also with us is Sasha Ryan, who is a producer and reporter for WDET. She covers a range of issues, including education and labor. They will be the co-hosts for a WDET and Chalkbeat Detroit virtual candidate forum for the Detroit School Board Thursday from 5:30 to 7:30. The event is free to attend, but you need to RSVP to receive the Zoom information. We are going to provide a link to where to sign up for this on our website on Detroit Today at WDET. And again, Sasha and Ethan will be the hosts for that forum. We want to hear from you during this conversation as well. Are you a student or a parent with ties to the Detroit Public Schools? Talk about some of the biggest challenges that you see facing the school system now that the pandemic and the restrictions of the pandemic are eased. What are the biggest promises that are being made? What are the things that you see that you feel like give you hope for the return to some normalcy in the school district? Also, what would you improve? What would you do differently? Also, give us a sense of what you make of this field of 18 who want to be on the school board. There are 4 seats, 18 people. How are you sorting through that and making your decisions before we get to vote on November 8th? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter, hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Okay, this is what the lineup looks like for the 18 who are running. There are 2 former board presidents, a few former educators, 4 incumbents. There are parents, and there are some pretty young people even running for these seats. Sasha, give us a sense of who these folks are, what they've done, and what they hope to do if they're elected.
Yeah, it is a pretty broad field. It's very interesting. There are a couple of people who were on the school board in the last phase of state control, which is kind of an interesting thing, where there was a school board that didn't really have the power to make decisions for the district. They were not empowered. The state had all of the power. And mm-hmm. so there are a couple of people there. There's one of the former presidents of the current school board running. And some people who are really, really, their arguments are very, very strongly against the way the current school board has functioned. Some parents and activists who are saying, you know, we want to change so much about what you've done. So it's an interesting, yeah, it's an interesting field.
Yeah. I mean, I used to cover Detroit schools in the mid 90s, and I remember these elections somewhat fondly, somewhat with nightmarish apprehension. The politics of the board have changed a lot over that time. Give us a sense of what the current board is like, what its relationship is to Superintendent Vitti, and how this election, I guess, plays into all of that. Mm. Ethan, go ahead.
Yeah, so the current board, it's entirely Black woman-led. As Sasha had mentioned, you have Board President Angelique Peterson-Masonberry, Vice President Deborah Hunter-Harville, Georgia Lemons, and Bishop Corletto Vaughn, who are the incumbents. They seem to have a pretty good relationship with Vitti. This past year, probably the biggest thing that they were able to achieve was approving this $700 million budget for school infrastructure. That's money coming directly from the federal COVID relief dollars that school districts across the country received. And so that's going to have a huge impact for the next roughly half a decade while those constructions are happening. We'll see Cody and Pershing completely rebuilt into new buildings and see HVACs installed into roughly the majority of the school buildings in the district. So that's just like one of the ways, I think, in which the board was able to really work it out with Vitti. They are continuously approving policies that are either directly focusing on like teacher contracts or specifically just interacting with the staff on a regular basis, visiting schools. I think they just work really well in hand with him. From what I've seen, there's not been really much dissent on the steps that he's made. And in the recent evaluations, they tend to always give him high marks. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sasha, go ahead.
And I think that is actually one of the issues we hear from some of the candidates, that they really they want to get rid of Vitti. There are people who are like, that is the core of their campaign, which is a really interesting thing, because I think both Vitti and the board have focused a lot on the idea of culture and reshaping the culture of the district after state control. And the questions of what, I mean, you know, these are all of these people, essentially. This board, you know, this is the history of this district. Like, you know, this is a very, very young district. And so with the majority of seats, there are only 7 seats on this board, with the majority up right now, there really could be a lot of changes there, you know, if the new board doesn't have a good relationship with Vitti and does want to change the direction of the board. There are 4 seats to do that.
Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. Give us a call. Let us know how you're looking at this field of 18 for 4 seats on the Detroit Public School Board. Tell us how you're sorting through the candidates, trying to make choices in advance of November 8th. Okay, Sasha, tell us about the event. Thursday, 5:30 to 7. What will people learn?
Well, it's a virtual event, so it's easy to join where you are. you do have to register, as Stephen said earlier. We've divided the 18 candidates into 2 panels. So Ethan will moderate one with a student moderator. I will moderate one with a student moderator. And we plan to just ask as many questions as we can with such a huge field. just basically, you know, why are you doing this? What do you want to change? What is your big concern? And how do you, you know, like, what are you going to hit the ground with? What should we expect from you? We are taking questions from the audience. So please do show up with the questions that are important to you, and we will try to get to as many of those as possible. But I think it's, you know, for many of us, and especially in a year with so much going on with elections, there aren't a lot of opportunities to get to know people in races like this. And so we hope to provide that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's quickly go to the phones here. Elena in Detroit, what's on your mind?
Hi. I was just reflecting on the change that happened when they went from DPS to DPSCD, and something that got very little media coverage and very little discussion was that DPS was elected by districts,
mm-hmm.
and DPSCD went to at-large. And I was elected twice by district with 4,000 votes and 5,000 votes.
Yeah.
And then I was defeated with 19,000 votes and 21,000 votes in the at-large. So I just wanted to mention that it's very different getting elected at-large, especially for the Latino community, which couldn't have elected a city council member.
Yeah.
Without going to district.
I mean, Elena, that's a great point. And it, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the switch. But that point that you're making about, you know, the Latino population in the city, the other populations in the city that aren't the majority, they don't really get much of an opportunity under this kind of structure. Sasha, are there candidates who maybe have a better shot? We've only got about a minute left, but go ahead and address that.
I don't know of any, Ethan. I don't know.
I don't know. Neither do I.
No.
I can't say.
I mean, no, I think that's a good point.
It's a really important point about that switch, which took away that chance for that kind of representation. Okay, again, 5:30 to 7:30 Thursday, the candidate forum. It's free to attend, but you've got to RSVP to receive the Zoom information to sign in, and we will have a link on our page here at Detroit Today where you can sign up for that. Sasha Ryan and Ethan Bakuli, good luck tomorrow with the candidate forum, and thanks for being here on Detroit Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to continue talking about November 8th and the elections that are coming up. We're going to talk with analysts about the hottest congressional and state races in Oakland County. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.